It's time for After the Whistle Sports with your hosts, Presley, Lucas, and Brandon, providing you all the latest scores and sports news. Now it's time for After the Whistle.
Good afternoon. Welcome into After the Whistle. I'm your host, Brandon Orrick, alongside Presley and Lucas. Guys, had a little bit of a break. We didn't meet last week because of President's Day, but a lot's happened. Tennessee has basically played theirself out of any NCAA tournament talk. So since last we met, they've lost to Vanderbilt and South Carolina with a win against Ole Miss thrown in there, Ole Miss and Missouri. But those two losses to Vanderbilt and South Carolina, those really hurt, especially that one to South Carolina. That was one that if you win that one, maybe you get back in the conversation, but they went down to Columbia and got drilled by almost 30.
Before the Vanderbilt game, I was really feeling confident for Tennessee because they beat them at Vanderbilt, and they come in the Thompson Bowling Arena, and Vanderbilt just beat us. That really took me downhill. And then when they went to Columbia and got basically smacked, you know, I lost all hope for them.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually at the Missouri game when they beat them. What was it, like 90-70? They beat them by like 20.
They beat them pretty good.
And that was also without starting guard Jordan Bowden. He played like the first 3 minutes of the game, and he went out due to illness. And I still had confidence in UT following week. I mean, you know, like you said, they lose to Vandy at home and then go and get slaughtered by South Carolina. And that's just when I knew it was all going to go downhill for the Vols. But, I mean, like we say every week, they're a young team. Don't really expect a lot out of them. But I definitely see some tournament appearances for them in the future.
Yeah, and like we've said, probably not going to make it this year outside of winning the SEC tournament. But still, the NIT is a real possibility. It's definitely not a lock that they make the NIT. A big game Wednesday night against LSU and closing out the regular season on Saturday against Alabama here in Knoxville. So definitely have to win that game at LSU. If you lose both, I think the NIT is definitely in question. So hopefully this team can make the NIT, make a little run in there, and just get some more experience.
Yeah, that would be really nice to see, and I hope they can make a run in the SEC tournament as well, because I think if they can make a run, just maybe, you never know, I guess you could say tournament time, you might consider them in a top, was it 64 team?
Yeah.
You may consider them, but you don't know.
Yeah, you really, especially in the SEC, I mean, any sport, baseball, football, basketball, you never know what's going to happen in the SEC, so just come out and play hard, and they might actually end up getting a tournament spot. But I see the NIT for them for sure, probably.
Yeah, and that would definitely be a big boost for this team and under Rick Barnes in his second year to make the NIT and really overperform for the expectations that were set this year. We'll move on in, talk a little high school basketball, some region tournaments going on. We had in Region 1, we have my alma mater, Granger, taking on Unicoi in one half of the bracket, and on the other side, Sullivan East and Elizabeth. And this is the boys' bracket. And then in Region 2, we have Fulton taking on CAK and Catholic taking on Alcoa. Those games will be tomorrow night. And then in the girls, on the girls' side, Region 1, you have Happy Valley taking on Granger and Chucky Doak taking on Greenville. And then in Region 2, Fulton taking on Kingston and Carter playing Gatlinburg-Pittman. Those games will be tonight. Thoughts on any of those games?
Well, you know, I'm going for my Fulton Falcons and Lady Falcons. I think they're going to win both of their games. And I hope your Granger County wins just because that's your alma mater. But I think if the Fulton boys, if they can just keep doing what they're doing because they keep turning the defense into offense, they keep getting high steals, blocks, and everything. If they can keep doing that, I think they can win regions, no doubt.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of started off slow the other night against Scott County. I was tuning into the game, listening. But that fourth quarter was something amazing to watch. 39-8 in the fourth quarter. They scored 39 points to Scott County's 8.
That was amazing.
That was really great to hear and see. I think that's going to, you know, get them going because they've never really been down like that this season unless, you know, like a few other meaningless games. But to play a tight game like that and then come in the fourth quarter and just play at a high level like they did was something great to see. And I think the girls will probably they should get the win tonight too. I think Kiki's going to have a big game. I think she's probably going to score a lot of points. I don't really see anybody on Kingston's team being able to guard her, and GP and Carter. That's going to be a win for GP, probably, no doubt. Carter, they have a really talented team, but a lot of them are young right now. A lot of them are freshmen. I think three of their starting five is freshmen. I was watching Rivalry Thursday the other night, and they had Carter on there talking about it. But it'll be a good game regardless, I think. But Quay Hines, former Falcon over there at GP, she's just been balling. She went off against us in the district tournament, and she's just a leader of that team, and still wish that she could have been a Falcon, though.
Yeah, the key for the Lady Falcons, I think, like you said, if you can get Kiki going, I think the Falcons will be a very hard team to beat.
And I'm not sure about the girls, but I know on the boys' side of the tournament, Granger comes in ranked fourth in classification 2A in the state, and Fulton is ranked third. So those two teams definitely probably the favorites in their respective regions to come out of there. So it'll be interesting to see possibly those two teams meeting up later in the season in a sub-state matchup.
For sure. I think Granger will get the win too. They've been pretty good the past few years as well. But I think that'll be good to see Fulton and Granger.
Yeah, I don't know much about Granger, but like I said, I hope they get the win just because that's your alma mater. But if they go up against Fulton, you know, I got to take the Falcons.
I would have to go with the Grizzlies in that one. But definitely we'll keep an eye out for those games and be talking about those in the coming weeks. Move on in and talk a little NBA. Since the All-Star break, as we were talking before we came on the air, you know, Cavaliers are struggling without LeBron. I know he missed a game the other day against the Bulls, and they lost that game. So struggling without him. If something was to happen to LeBron, maybe he has to miss an extended period of time. Maybe he gets hurt in the playoffs. What does this team look like?
I say they look pretty bad, just for the fact that, I mean, I know the Chicago Bulls, they're a difficult team, but I think the Cavaliers should have had no problem beating them. And if you can't win without LeBron, then who can you beat? I mean, I know one player can't win the game for you, but the way it looks, that LeBron, he's basically winning the game for the Cavs. So I think if LeBron ever goes down, knock on wood, I think the Cavaliers would really choke in the playoffs.
I kind of think it all starts out with a leadership role because, you know, LeBron, he's that big leader for the Cavs. King James, I mean, that's his nickname. It goes to show. But, you know, I think Kyrie and Kevin Love, they got to kind of stand up and be a little more vocal once LeBron is out because you don't really have that guy to look to. You're like, oh, LeBron is out. Then you get kind of confused out there. Kyrie, he needs to be more of a floor general, I think. I'm a big fan of Kyrie and all, but I think that later in his career, once he doesn't have LeBron, he's really going to have to step up and be more vocal. But things are looking up for the Cavs. Andrew Bogut seeking to leave the Sixers and come to Cleveland, and Deron Williams signing with the Cavs off waivers. So not too bad for him, but once they get LeBron back out there and they get those key players in there, I think they'll be fine.
Most definitely.
On the west side, Golden State becomes the first team to clinch a playoff spot this year and the fastest team to ever clinch a playoff spot in the history of the NBA. So they're rolling right now. Also, since the All-Star break the last time we talked, a big trade in the NBA as Boogie Cousins got sent to New Orleans for basically nothing. So obviously the Kings wanted to get rid of Cousins. And it worked out for the Pelicans. So, do you all see this? The Pelicans. Do you think they could be a contender? I don't think this year. I think they're too far back. But maybe in next year and the years to come, maybe building up to be a team that can compete in the West.
I think if they can build up, I think they can be a team to beat in the West. But just with Boogie and Anthony Davis, I don't think that makes them any more special than what they were. I mean, it does make them a little bit more, but I still don't think they can hang with the Golden State. I think that, I didn't see that trade coming at all. But I think the Kings really think that they can turn Buddy Hield into the next great thing, because when you watch him at Oklahoma, he was amazing. I mean, he really hasn't been doing too much in the NBA so far, but I think the Kings really think they can turn him into something great.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't really know if – I mean, it is a bad trade in all aspects, but I don't really know that the Kings are going to be hurt that much by it. I mean, I didn't really see them being able to afford Boogie Cousins anymore after his contract was up. I mean, he was going to be asking for a lot of money. He's probably the best big player in the game. But, I mean, you get Tyreek Evans back out of it, a former guard that they used to have, and you get Buddy Hield, like you said, Lucas, and one other guy and two draft picks. So, I mean, it's not too bad for the Kings, but, I mean, ultimately you lose the best big man in the game. I do see the Pelicans being a very hard team to beat. I mean, you've got Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins down there. I mean, that's like Twin Towers right there, I'd call them that. But I don't know. I mean, if Anthony Davis leaves after this season, I saw they had trade talks on Twitter. I saw a Twitter feed. It said Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook could possibly team up and go to the Lakers over the summer.
I don't know if I see that happening or not, because that would be a ridiculous amount of money for the Lakers to spend. And I know Paul George has shown his interest in joining the Lakers a few years from now. But also, since we talked, a lot of things have happened since the last time we met. Magic Johnson's now calling the shots for the Lakers in their front office.
I think that'll help out a lot for the Lakers.
Yeah, can't hurt. But that move, getting those two together, maybe one, but both of those, I mean, if they could pull it off, they'd definitely be a contender and definitely have a strong team. But it's just getting all the logistics of all that, getting it to work.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I saw that. I thought, okay, well, maybe one guy, maybe Anthony Davis or maybe Westbrook, especially with PG wanting to come over to L.A. because that's where he grew up and his favorite player was Kobe growing up. But I don't really know. I mean, it'd be nice to see, for me at least, because I'm a Lakers fan, but it'd be nice to see also because you don't have just the Warriors crushing everybody in the West anymore, just blasting everybody in the NBA. You have more superstars on more teams there. But I don't really know if it'll work out or not, but hopefully it does.
Now, I may be wrong, but I just don't see Russell Westbrook leading the Thunder anytime soon, just for the simple fact that KD did it.
Yeah.
And he's always talking about loyalty. I mean, don't get me wrong, I know he wants to win a championship, and everybody does, but I just don't see Russell Westbrook leaving the Thunder anytime soon.
Yeah, I thought that too when I saw KD leave Golden State. But I thought Russell would leave before KD did, if anything, because he didn't want KD's name attached to him. But KD ended up leaving, so now I kind of agree with you, Lucas. I don't really see Westbrook leaving OKC anytime soon, but it'd be nice to see him in that gold and purple.
As it stands right now, we were talking about New Orleans being a playoff contender. They're currently 13th in the West, so there are two teams worse than them in the Western Conference. So definitely going to be hard for them to move up and maybe make it into the playoffs this year. But we were talking about Sacramento. They're just one game out of the playoffs. So,
yeah, they look like they basically just gave up. Just, here, you can have DeMarcus Cousins.
Well, I don't know if it's so much that they gave up. I think a lot of it was the front office and just the tension between them and DeMarcus Cousins. I really think that those two parties just did not like each other, and the Kings were willing to get rid of him at any cost. And I think that was the situation that played out, because, I mean, they're one spot out of the playoffs. And making the playoffs would be big for the Kings. I mean, they've been dreadful for years.
Yeah, years. I don't really know. I saw an interview with DeMarcus Cousins after he got traded, and he said he didn't have any feuds or anything. He didn't really have any grudges against them. He actually said he wanted to start up the Kings and get them back on track and get them good. And he wanted to be a superstar or a legend in the Kings uniform and have his number retired and all this other stuff. But I kind of agree. I think deep down there probably was some tension in there. But and also, like I said, the money, too. I don't think that they would end up being able to afford him in future years.
All right, real quick before we move on to baseball, any team that you think can in the West that can knock off Golden State?
Do I have to pick a particular team, or can I just say anything?
Well, because, I mean, whatever, I mean, whatever you think.
I'm not going to say a particular team, because just for the simple fact that I think any team that's going to make the playoffs can beat Golden State, just because you've seen the Cavs do it down 3-1. I mean, when the Cavs got down 3-1.
But the Cavs have somebody named LeBron James.
Well, yeah, but just forget that for a minute. But still, down 3-1, that was very hard. That was very hard for a team like that. And the Cavs, I know they have King James. I know they do. But I still don't think they have enough talent as the Warriors. So I'm not going to say anybody in particular, but I think anybody can knock them off.
I mean, I agree. Anybody can beat anybody on any given day. But, I mean, honestly, I don't see anybody knocking them off. But if I had to pick a team, it would probably be the Clippers if Chris Paul can get healthy. I can see that. You know, you got Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, two big forces. Blake Griffin actually just had a 43-point game last night, and they won in overtime. But, yeah, if I had to pick a team, I'd probably have to say the Clippers. I mean, all around, you got Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, DeAndre Jordan, and Blake Griffin, and a few other key players that could help them win.
If I had to pick one team, I think it'd be the Spurs. I think nobody's talking about them. They lost Duncan, lost everything, and they're still great. 45-13 this year, second in the West. But everybody's focused on the Golden State Warriors. So I think if there's a team out there that can knock the Warriors off before the finals, I think it is the Spurs. Same situation in the East. Anybody that you think can knock off the Cavs?
Well, just to make you happy right here, I'm going to go with your Celtics just for the simple fact that they're killing it right now. Isaiah Thomas, he's balling. Crowder, he's balling. I mean, if you get your good guys going, you're a hard team to beat. And the way it's looking, if LeBron does go out, Cavs can't win a game without him, so I think the Celtics could give him a run for their money.
Yeah, I agree. Probably the Celtics. I would have said the Bulls, but after trading those key players in Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott, I don't really know that I see them being able to keep up with them in their bench game. But, yeah, I'd probably have to say probably the Celtics. Isaiah Thomas, he's just so explosive.
Yeah, if I had to go with one team, I'd say Boston. Just simply the fact that the defense that they play, whenever they get Avery Bradley back, I think that definitely helps on the defensive end. But another team I think, I'll try not to be a homer, but another team I think that could give them a run is the Wizards. They're playing lights out right now, one of the hottest teams in the NBA since the new year. So definitely I think the Wizards could be a team to look out for in the East.
Yeah, I think one more team not to sleep on, if they can get this guy healthy, is the Toronto Raptors. If they can get Kyle Lowry healthy, I think that they could really be a force in the East. You know, you have Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, and Serge Ibaka now. I mean, it'd be a great thing to see having all them on the court, all them healthy and going. I think that could be a possible team to knock off the Cavs.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but it just broke just a few minutes ago that Kyle Lowry is going to have surgery on his wrist and could miss 4 to 5 weeks. So
for a minute, I thought you were going to say he got traded.
I thought he was going to say he got traded. Or something like that.
But I agree with you, Brandon. I would go with the Wizards as well because they're on fire. If you go back and look, I'm pretty sure it was before the All-Star break. They took the Cavs to an overtime. I think they should have beat the Cavs if LeBron didn't hit that very lucky three-pointer as a fadeaway. So if LeBron didn't hit that three-pointer, no doubt the Wizards would have won. So I think if the Celtics can't do it, the Wizards can.
All right, we'll move in here. Last topic of the day, baseball starting up. Spring training is in progress. So that means baseball is just right around the corner. Who do you think is who is your all's favorite to win the World Series this year, to make a playoff run, maybe a team that no one's talking about, a dark horse candidate? So who you like?
My favorite is going to be my favorite team, of course, the Boston Red Sox. I think we're going to do some damage this year for sure after picking up Chris Sale and, you know, getting Pablo back on track, Pablo Sandoval getting healthy and getting skinnier over there at the hot corner at third base. That'd be a good switch hitting guy to have in the lineup. You know, the pitching rotation is going to be just great this year. You have David Price, the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner, Rick Porcello, and then you pick up Chris Sale, who is actually probably the best pitcher in the AL East, or in the AL, well, now AL East, but in the whole American League, he probably is the best pitcher. And then you just have guys like Dustin Pedroia and Xander Bogaerts, MVP runner-up and Mookie Betts, who could possibly win that this year. You've got a lot of great tools, great guys in the lineup. And then in the NL, my pick is probably going to be the Cubs. I mean, who is better than them? I mean, really, they still have pretty much the same guys that they had a year ago, minus Aroldis Chapman, who they lost over the summer. Or you also have the San Francisco Giants, who are actually in first place in their league in the spring training right now. They got a lot of good young guys coming up, and good shortstop in Brandon Crawford, and great pitcher in Madison Bumgarner. And the AL, my sleeper, probably be the Houston Astros. You got Jose Altuve and Correa up the middle. I think Dallas Keuchel, he just had a down year last year, but I think he'll come back this year strong, and they pick up Brian McCann and a few others. I think it'll be a good season to watch this year.
In the AL, I'm going to have to go with you, Press. I'm going to go with the Red Sox just for the simple fact that their rotation, their pitching rotations, it's crazy. It's dominant. It's basically like the Warriors of baseball, if you can relate to that. And but the NL, you know, I got to go with my favorite team, the Giants, just because they're returning almost the whole entire starting lineup from last year, minus maybe a couple of guys. But the Giants recently, they have been in, I guess you could say, an even year team. Not this past year, but winning a World Series on even years, I think they could switch it up and maybe win a World Series on an odd year this year.
Yeah, so somebody else not to sleep on, though, in your division, the Los Angeles Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw over there. Clayton Kershaw, he'll pitch any day of the week if he has to get the win. That's another team who could be good in the NL.
Yeah, that division always comes down to those two teams. Obviously, I think the favorite to win it all has to be the Cubs. So that's who I'm going to go with out of the National League. And I agree with both of you all. I think the Red Sox, I think they're definitely the favorite. I think a team to watch is a team that made it last year is the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, for sure.
I think not a lot of people talking about them. And I'm gonna go with you. I think a dark horse has to be the Astros. So we'll see what they can do. And in the National League, like I said, the Cubs, the Giants, they have great great pitchers, great all-around team. So I think they're a team to watch. The Nationals, I think that's another team. Strong rotation.
Bryce Harper, too.
A lot of bats. And another team, I'm going to sound like a homer, but I'm going to go with the Mets. I think their rotation, if their rotation can stay healthy, I think they're definitely going to be one of those teams to watch down the stretch. But that's going to be key, is keeping everybody healthy.
Yeah, I agree. The Mets last year, solid pitching rotation. They were at the top of their division until they all just started falling to pieces. Jacob DeGrom going out, Matt Harvey going out for surgery. I think I agree. If they can stay healthy, they'll be a great team to watch in the NL. But my sleeper pick for the NL – probably have to be the Colorado Rockies just because of the bats that they have. I mean, it's ridiculous. You got Nolan Arenado. He's probably the most slept-on player in the MLB right now, probably the best defensive player in the game. You also have DJ LeMahieu, and then some other great players like Carlos Gonzalez, Charlie Blackmon, just all-around great bats. I think that if they can get their pitching to step up a little more, I think they could probably find a spot in the playoff race, and they could probably make a run if their bats stay hot.
And one team that I want to look out for this year is going to be the Atlanta Braves, just for the simple fact that Dansby Swanson, you know, he's a beast, and they just signed Brandon Phillips. And I know the saying goes, one person can't win the game for you, but I don't think this team will make a playoff run, or whatever you want to say, run. But I think they'll be a good team to watch this year.
Yeah, I agree. Also, can't sleep on Freddie Freeman over there either. The last 97 games of the season, he was statistically the top hitter in the league. Just sucks that he had to play for the Braves.
All right, that's going to do it for us this week on After the Whistle. Be sure to join us next week right here on WKCS.
That's it for After the Whistle Sport. Tune in next week for more updates.